Hello and welcome to Literary Prize Winners, Episode 35. Today we'll be discussing the story of a young boy stuck in a horrible life of drug addiction and family problems. A story so sad and fascinating that it won a Pulitzer Prize. Jimmy's World is coming up next. Welcome back. You're probably intrigued by this sad story, or perhaps you've heard it before. Here's the thing, it's all made up. This story was one of the most successful hoaxes in recent history, and the author won a Pulitzer Prize in 1981 before the truth came out. In 1980, the author, Janet Cook, published this story in the Washington Post. At the center of the writing was an 8-year-old heroin addict named Jimmy. It detailed his family situation, absence from school, and his utterly heartbreaking reliance on heroin. The article concludes with Ron, the father, injecting Jimmy with heroin and stating, "Pretty soon, man, you gotta learn how to do this for yourself." The fact that a hoax like this can get so far that it wins a Pulitzer Prize in literature begs the question of how a story that is completely made up can be so convincing. The answer is found in the emotional and textual, or technical, appeals to the audience, as well as the fake credentials the author provided. The story definitely invokes feelings of sadness and pity for the boy and his family. People know that drugs are becoming more and more of a problem for younger and younger people, so the fact that an 8-year-old boy can be addicted does not seem unreasonable. The fact that an author is bringing this subject up in such an emotionally convincing and appealing way creates a compelling story. In addition, the author makes up seemingly realistic quotations and presents the reader with real-life situations and scenes. When people are directly quoted, there's a whole new layer of believability to the story, and the addition of names like Jimmy and Ron further contributes as well. Jimmy's family has its own sad story before he was even born, and the fact that they have a backstory adds credibility to the claim. One excerpt reads, "A lot of these parents are the unwed mothers of the 60s, and they are bringing up their children by trial and error," says Linda Gilbert, a social worker at Southeast Neighborhood House. "The family structure is not there, so they establish a relationship with their peers. If the peers are into drugs, it won't be very long before the kids are too. They don't even view drugs as illegal, and if they're making money too, then it's gonna be okay in the eyes of an economically deprived community." Finally, and arguably most importantly to the credibility of the story, the author faked credentials for herself. She claimed she had a degree from Vassar College and a master's degree from the University of Toledo, and that she had received a journalism award while at the Toledo Blade. This contributed to her credibility with the Washington Post, and since her article was published in such a credible newspaper, people thought that it must be true. Coming up next, an interview with one of the people who believed this article. Stay tuned. With us now is Sam, an avid newspaper reader who believed the article, to discuss what made it so convincing. Welcome, Sam.
Thanks, it's great to be here.
You're definitely not the only one who believed this article. Thousands of people believed it, and it won the Pulitzer Prize. For you, what do you remember from the article that made it so believable?
I remember some of the quotations in the article. I think there was one about the family structure and how, for them, drugs were not illegal, especially since they were making money. This quotation really seemed to get inside of their thought processes, and it just seemed so real and uncut that I didn't think twice about the truth of what I was reading.
The quotations were definitely realistic and thought-provoking. Was there anything else you found really convincing?
I can't think of anything else specific, but since I was reading the Washington Post, I thought nothing more about the validity of the claims. Since it was such a trusted source, I just assumed I wouldn't be reading a hoax.
Well, thanks for your time and thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of Literary Prize Winners, even though the prize was later taken away from Janet Cook. You can find the full article referenced in this episode on the Washington Post's website. The name, again, is Jimmy's World. A special thank you also goes to Steve Combs and the Free Music Archive website for the music used in this episode. Thanks again for listening.